Professor Chomsky, and Professor Long, maybe you can comment as well. In the recent Iraqi elections, as you know, the American puppet leader, Alawi, the American appointed leader, only received about 15% of the vote, and all the other candidates that were associated with the American occupation, as you know, basically were voted out of office. And they now have a Shiite majority that is leaning more and more toward Iran. My question is this, if this trend continues, as the Americans perceive them to move closer to Iran, in essence, because of a commonality of Shiite religion and so forth, do you feel that the United States government may take some type of covert or back-of-the-scenes type of maneuvers and so forth to undermine and destroy this government and claim that it's illegitimate? Because basically, let's face it, it's not going to carry out the American agenda in Iraq, which Americans consider vitally important to their energy needs for the future.
Well, it's already happening, so we don't have to speculate. But if you look back a little bit, it's not ancient history, the U.S. tried in every imaginable way to prevent the election. It was strongly opposed to the election. It proposed all sorts of devices and trickery to avoid elections. But it was forced, it was compelled, pretty recently, it was compelled to allow elections. That should be regarded, I think, as a major victory of nonviolent resistance. I mean, it's not, the U.S. doesn't care that much about suicide bombers, like in Vietnam. In the arena of violence, the U.S. is going to prevail, just such overwhelming power. So you want to have suicide bombers, okay. But the mass nonviolent resistance, for which Sistani was kind of a symbol, that was so strong, you know, huge demonstrations, this and that, that the U.S. had to agree to elections. And as soon as it, of course, once it agreed to them, it took credit for them, that's naturally, and the media talk about it too, and so on. But the facts are just uncontroversial. You know, the more intelligent and independent analysts point them out. Once the U.S. could not avoid the elections, it immediately sort of went to the next level. Let's try and subvert them. So it did have its own candidate, Iyad Alawi, and he was given every possible advantage, you know, access to unique access to state television, I mean, every resource the state could provide. The independent media were kicked out of the country. Al Jazeera, which is the most important of the independent media, was tossed out of the country so that they wouldn't interfere with a free election by reporting what's going on. But nevertheless, as you say, Alawi, a U.S. candidate, got actually about 14% of the vote, and technically is not in the cabinet, although some of his sidekicks are. Every single, aside from the Kurds, who have their own interests, of the Arab parties, every one of them that was of any significance, including even the U.S. candidate, including Alawi, had as a leading plank a U.S. withdrawal. But the U.S. got to work on that very fast, and those are out. So by now they've all backed off on that and are now talking about, you know, some kind of vague promises. Okay, that's a victory. The next question is who's going to take over the oil ministry? Right now, it's in the hands of Ahmed Chalabi. I don't have to talk to you about that. And we'll see where that goes. It is almost inconceivable that the U.S. could permit a sovereign democratic Iraq. It's not like Vietnam. Once Vietnam was sort of destroyed, the U.S. is happy to forget about it. But Iraq, you can't forget about. I mean, it's right at the heart of the world's energy-producing region. It's the last major unexploited energy resource in the world. You know, huge untapped energy resources, very cheap. No permafrost, no tar sands, just stick a pipe in the ground and the oil gushes out. The U.S. is certainly going to try to insist on controlling that. Furthermore, if the just imagine what the policies of an independent sovereign Iraq would be. I mean, they don't love Iran particularly, but they'd much rather be friendly to Iran than be hostile to them. So they'll improve relations with Iran. They will stimulate, it's already happening, they'll stimulate moves towards autonomy and independence in the Shiite areas of Saudi Arabia nearby, which happens to be where all the oil is. so you can see, not far in the future, a Shiite bloc, independent, controlling the world's major energy resources. I mean, the chances of the U.S. permitting this are like an asteroid hitting the Earth tomorrow. It's not going to happen. Furthermore, an independent, sovereign Iraq will try to regain its position as the leading Arab state, which is its natural position. It goes back to biblical times. That means rearming, confronting the regional enemy, namely Israel, probably developing weapons of mass destruction as a deterrent. The U.S. going to sit by and watch that happen? You know, I mean, the idea is so outlandish that the fact that people are talking about the U.S., you know, trying to give sovereignty to Iraq is, you can't even call it a bad joke. I mean, it's inconceivable, you know. So, of course, that's not going to happen. The only question is how you manipulate it so it doesn't happen. You know, there's lots of means. I mean, you got 150,000 troops in the country. The U.S. maintains control of any of the economic support. A lot of it been withheld as a lever to control the new government. So it's very hard to know what to do. I mean, if, say, the Ayatollah Sistani calls for mass demonstrations to insist on, say, a timetable for U.S. withdrawal, it's very hard to predict what the consequences will be.
Professor Long, do you want to comment on that?
I'm not going to comment on Iraq because Professor Chomsky has basically stated all the things. But I want to say a little bit about elections in Vietnam and the lessons from that. Every election in Vietnam was rigged in the most blatant manner in favor of the Saigon regime. Not only the first election for Diem, but for example, the 1967 election, in which Vice President Key himself stated that the cheating was mind-boggling in a country in the southern part of Vietnam, which had 8,100 polling stations, 7,000 committed 11 violations, which meant that there were all the violations that was in the book. On the day that the National Assembly in Vietnam was supposed to vote to ratify the election, General Nguyen Ngoc Loan, who was the head of the police, charged into the National Assembly, which is your Congress here, got into the balcony, pulled out his pistol, sat back, put his legs on the table, and drank the beer. And then you know, General Nguyen Khang, you know, brought the army, the two divisions into Saigon. And so 6 hours later, the Saigon Congress or Parliament ratified the election in Vietnam. And then I can talk on about elections in Vietnam. Everyone was, you know, horribly rigged. But the point here is this. The point of the election is not for Vietnamese consumption. It's for American consumption. To show that there is now democracy in Vietnam and the new democratic regime is asking the United States to stay in Vietnam and, you know, escalate its effort. You know. And then when the United States fails, just organize another rigged election. But once you have legitimized a corrupt Saigon regime, for example, or a regime in Iraq, then you have to stick with it. United States stuck with Ngo Dinh Diem for 9 years until you know he could not be propped up, so he had to be gotten rid of. And then United States stuck up with Thieu for 9 more years. United States never had any exit strategy from Vietnam, and United States not going to have any exit strategy from Iraq either, because Iraq, as Professor Chomsky pointed out, is much more important than Vietnam. Vietnam was to provide a lesson for people elsewhere, especially other countries in Southeast Asia, not to get into their heads that revolutions pay, you know, and that even if you succeed in getting rid of American clientele regimes in Vietnam, the United States is going to make the country of Vietnam pay in such a heavy, make Vietnam pay in such a heavy manner that Vietnam would not be able to recover for years to come. And that's so true. 30 years after the war ended, Vietnam is still struggling with rebuilding the country. And this has taught people elsewhere in Southeast Asia a lesson, in a way, not to fight against the United States And that was a point about Vietnam. But Iraq would have similar problems, and when the United States fails in Iraq in some ways, and of course the enemies are going to be in Iran, the enemies are going to be in Syria, so let's extend the war, expand the war. And the United States did that in Vietnam. The United States expanded the war into Cambodia and Laos and North Vietnam, you know, to say that, you know, the reason for our failure didn't have anything to do with our effort to build democracy in South Vietnam. It had to do with all this evil countries and people around that. And so I see not only no exit strategy, but I see the possible expansion of the war to other countries like Iraq and Syria.
The woman over here is next.
Hi, thank you.